One of the great challenges of life is discovering what it is God wants to do in and through you. Because oftentimes as you pursue that, you get conflicted by challenges, conflicted by circumstances, overwhelmed by situations, and at times you lose sight of that purpose He has for you. And when you lose sight of it, it makes it much more challenging to rediscover it later on. And when you think about what happened in Paul's life, as we look today in Acts chapter 20, here's the story of a guy who literally realizes that the choices he's making will define the essence of his journey of faith. These are the choices he makes that he realizes at the end of this story is prison and ultimately death. But he knows something. He has a purpose greater than just his pain. He has a purpose greater than just his discouragement. He has a purpose greater than just the things that have overwhelmed him. And this week as I was thinking about that, I ran across two different dynamic stories, that both of which set in motion my thoughts about what we look at today. And today, as you think about your own journey of faith, I want you to be thinking about, how do I live up to my purpose? How do I live up to accomplishing what He intends? And this morning, I was checking my email before coming to church, and I got an email from the young pastor I've told you about before from Pakistan who goes into different villages taking the Bible, because what happened was Jesus showed up one day in his life. And when Jesus showed up, He became everything to him. And he set aside everything of religion and embraced Jesus and embraced one very distinctive thought. And that is that God's Word is the most important thing He could ever relay to someone else. And so this morning He wrote these words. So many, and he'd gone to a new village, and it's interesting. There's so many people in Pakistan and other places like that. The villages are called like 10-12. It's the name of the village. And I'm like, wow, it's not very personal, is it? But it still gets across the same purpose as far as him being able to live out what it is God intended for him. So he's in 10-12 in Pakistan, in a region where walking and talking and telling about Jesus could have the highest risk possible of end up losing your life. But he makes a choice every day to do the same thing. Listen to what he revealed as his purpose statement. So many lost souls, the Word of God must be shared with them. People need to be born again. Now, I want you to think about it for a second. So many lost souls, so many need God's Word, people need to be born again. Now, imagine for a moment, here's the opportunity for him to be able to say, you know, do I shrink back from what it is that God's called me to do? Do I step into the assignment? Do I accept what it is He wants to do in my life? Because think about it for a second. Most of us sitting here probably are not worried about going to 10-12. We're probably not worried about going someplace where it risks everything. But it's interesting, when he understood and discovered his purpose, which, by the way, his purpose was revealed so clearly to him by God, which tells you something. Ultimately, who shares our purpose with us? God. He shows us what we're supposed to do, who we're supposed to be, how we're supposed to accomplish what he intends. So today, as you think about that in your own journey of faith, think about what happens if you discover his purpose. Well, this week I was reading the story of a noted author in America, writes a lot of different Christian books, very, very insightful, brilliant guy. But it was interesting because he was being interviewed and asked the question, you know, what gives you the motivation to be who you are? What moves you forward? What is the essence of your purpose? And begins to tell the story of his mother. And his mother lived with a dynamic faith and a very clear commitment to living out her purpose. And she knew something. She knew that if she equipped and blessed and touched the hearts of her children and those that she came across, then they would have also the opportunity to live in a powerful and meaningful way. And listen to what he wrote, because I clipped this article because I thought this is the essence of what you and I ought to be living for every single day. Listen to what he said. The Bible was even more than a lens for living for my mother. She modeled applying the Bible to every aspect of life. Now, listen to what she said. There's three things she did, and she taught them. We look through it to see life. We looked at it to see God's story, and we look back at our own reflection to evaluate our lives based in Scripture. What does he say? We look through, we looked at it, we look back. And I'll tell you what, for this author, here's what he knew. The echo of his mom's purpose still reigns in his ears, even though she's been in eternity for a very long time. And here's what I want you to get a hold of as you think about your own story. For every person who lives with a purpose, people will remember you forever. because they see you have something that motivates you, something that challenges you, something that gets a hold of you. Now watch this carefully. If you don't know your purpose, then what happened to you? You end up struggling to define how you can impact others. And I think that's why Paul, when he gets to Acts chapter 20, he calls back together the elders at the church at Ephesus. All right? And he calls them back with a very clear intent. And I want you to think about today as you think about your own life. If you had to define your purpose, what would it read like? What would it look like? In other words, if you had to say, you know, this is really what he intends to do through me, which by the way, purpose is all about intent, what he intends to do. And so if I understand what he wants to do, then all of a sudden I get more focused, more deliberate, more intentional. And what I want you to see today is this, because in this story, Paul takes and wraps together three or four very dynamic concepts and brings them all in together to make sense. So think about these four words: humility, the capacity to be humble, and the ability to be intense about what it is God's called you to do, intensity. Then the understanding of that as we get into intensity, we encounter hope. And as we encounter hope, we experience grace. And what happens is you take those together and you take humility and intensity and hope and grace, and you have the entire story of Paul's life. Here is a guy who on the Damascus Road was very, by the way, he thought his purpose was to persecute. He thought his purpose was to cause someone else heartache. And the reality is, on the Damascus Road, what happens? All of a sudden, his direction changes completely. He 180s and ends up living out his true purpose, which we find in Acts chapter 20, verse 24. Look at it with me if you would, because it's here that he begins to make sure they don't miss what he's trying to convey. But I do not consider my life of any account as dear to myself. You got an underline dear to myself, because what he's saying is what God's purpose is takes precedent over my preference. So that, what's this purpose statement? So that I may finish my course, the ministry which I have received from the Lord Jesus, to testify solemnly of the gospel of the grace of God. Now, I want you to get, and when you look at that verse, you realize something. He makes it very clear. He's not taking it into account his personal preferences. Well, if this happened and this happened and this lined up and this lined up, then I'm going to serve him. If these things all line up, then I'm going to be yielding to what it is he wants to do. No, that's not what he says. What he says here is, I don't consider my life to be of consequence. What I do consider is that I end up doing what it is he's called me to do, that I testify, because you'll notice he says, I solemnly testify to the gospel, the grace of God. So I want you to think about today, think about your own journey of faith and begin to ask yourself a question, because we're going to see this with great clarity. Because here's what I want you to know. Who you are in secret always define who you are in public. You see, if you in secret live a life that's disconnected from his purpose, that's not yielded to what he wants to accomplish through you, if you don't end up experiencing the hope and the grace of God at work in your life, and you don't experience what his intent was for you regarding your entire life purpose, what happens to you? You end up struggling to accomplish what he intended. So today, as you think about your own journey of faith, begin to ask yourself the question, am I at a place where what I do when nobody else sees it is directly linked to what it is he wants me to do in public? Because when you get there, you see something that's really, really important. Because for Paul, he understood this. Purpose is born in our hearts, not our head. Purpose is born in our hearts. In fact, when you start thinking about this, the whole idea, it is written by a perfect author who has known us before we're ever formed, in our mother's womb. I mean, he has purpose for our life. And I want you to imagine for a moment that you have this dynamic opportunity to all of a sudden say, you know what, I get to read the story. I get to see what it is that he has. And here's what you discover. It is not so much where you've been, because he knows that too, but it's so important about where you're going, what he wants to do through you, and what he wants to do in you, and how he wants to work to use you is directly linked to your capacity to be able to say, Lord, I want to discover your purpose for my life. So in Acts chapter 20, we dig into what happened to him. Look, if you would, beginning in verse 17. And what I want you to do, think about today is, what would happen if everyone here encountered humility the way he intended, and as they encountered humility, they begin to get a little more intense about their life journey, because it's interesting. If you change your story just 2%, your life impact may go 25% higher. If you just stop and go, wait a minute now, I want to make sure what I say, who I am, what I do, the steps I take, they reflect something more than myself. And I tell you what you discover. Why wait when you can discover your purpose today? Why wait and act later? Act now and discover what it is He has for you. Look, if you would, Acts chapter 20, verse 17. And what I want to do today is I want you to get these thoughts in your mind. What happens if I understand humility the way God intended? What happens if I understand intensity the way God intended? What happens if I understand hope and understand what hope can do inside of me? What happens when grace rests on inside of my life? And today we see this beginning in verse 17. Notice what happened. From Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called to him the elders of the church. And when they had come to him, he said to them, "You yourselves know from the first day that I set foot in Asia how I was with you the whole time, serving the Lord with all humility and with fears and with trials which came upon me through the plots of the Jews. How I did not shrink," key word here, "I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you publicly and from house to house, solemnly testifying to both Jews and Greeks of repentance towards God and faith in the Lord Jesus. And now, watch this, behold, bound in spirit, I'm on my way to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there, except the Holy Spirit solemnly testifies me in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions await me. But I do not consider my life to be of any account as dear to myself, so that I may finish my course and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify solemnly of the gospel, the grace of God." I want you to think about for a moment. Here's Paul, and Paul gets told something that is obviously quite gripping, because he says, the Spirit of the Lord comes to me and says, you know, wherever you go, you're going to pay a price. Wherever you go, there's something you have to face. And I want you to imagine for a moment, what would happen if all of us said, you know what, I'm willing to pay that price. I'm willing to do what it is He's called me to do. I'm willing to take that step of faith. I'm willing to become who He wants me to become. I'm willing to become the person that can be used by God. And I'm going to tell you what Paul does here. He brings together, he doesn't have a chance to encounter all those who are part of the story at Ephesus, because Ephesus was an amazing part of his life. If you read Ephesians, "For by grace you are saved, that not of yourself, it's a gift of God." These people at Ephesus, they got it. But he didn't get the chance to see all of them. He just called for the elders. He said, "I want you to come. And I want, as you come, I want to be a part of your story. I want to be a part of helping you discover what it is that God has for you." And he begins in verse 19 by emphasizing something very, very key. And that is the whole idea of us coming to the place where we learn that serving with humility opens a door of opportunity. Because if you look at verse 19, he says, serving the Lord with all humility and with fears. With tears and with trials which came upon him through the plots of the Jews. Now, I want you to get this in mind, because what humility does, he identifies very core qualities of what happens when we humble ourselves. Because what he says here is when you learn to serve, watch this, when you learn to serve and you learn to sacrifice, you'll also be willing to suffer. Now, think about that. I serve so that I can sacrifice, and as I sacrifice, sometimes I have to pay that price. My wife and I had the privilege yesterday. We were doing a little yard project together, which is not pastoral at all, and it's certainly not the most inspiring thing that we do in the span of our lives. But we were doing it together, so we were working and we were putting all these bulbs out for next year, and it was quite an experience. And I was sitting there thinking, all right, does this fit the sermon? Well, getting dirty and filthy and trying to mess with dirt, that humbles me. So that works. And then I started thinking, wait a minute now. So am I at a place where I'm serving and I'm sacrificing? And it's interesting, because I knew one thing. And I don't know if you've ever done it. Have you ever, like, got down on your knees like this long enough, and when you got done, you couldn't sit up straight? You ever had that feeling? Now, if you're young, you never had that problem. If you're a student, that's never a problem. You can bend down, roll over, and everything else, you're fine. But I knew something. I knew if we were going to have this experience together, that I needed to humble myself and let Cindy put the bulbs in. All right? Because I knew if I did it, I wouldn't be able to sit up straight for the next 2 weeks. And I'm watching her, and she's over there. She's doing it. You know? And I'm sitting there going, her back's not hurting. She's older than me. Why is her back not hurting? And, you know, I kept watching to see, because I wanted to see if she could heard at some point, you know, and I'm sure she did at some point, but the reality is, for me, if I'd have been doing it, I can honestly say to you, if I put flowers in once a year, it takes me 3 weeks to get over it. And so, but I was watching her, and she was laying it all out properly. She's putting it out. Now, how much dirt do you have to have for a bulb, and how much dirt do you have to have? And I'm sitting there thinking, throw the dirt down. I mean, make this happen. And it's funny, when she got done, she said, I can't wait to see if something really grows. And I'm sitting there thinking, we just spent 5 hours working on this project, and you're hoping it grows? I'm sitting there thinking, you know what I'm thinking? The deer are going to eat every bulb. I mean, it may not be profitable at all. So what does she do? She runs into Sonny one day, and he says, put this wire mesh over that. And put a little dirt, they can't get to him. And I'm going to tell you, if we put that wire mesh out, I thought that's exactly what the Holy Spirit does for us. The Holy Spirit protects us where the enemy can't get to us. And then what happens is we start learning how to serve with humility. And I'm going to tell you what humility does. Humility honors God because he gets all the credit. And I'm going to tell you what we need in our lives. We need a dose of humility to accomplish everything he intends every single day. Because here's what happens. If I learn how, watch this, to take my giftedness, my equipping, my skills, and say, Lord, I humbly submit them to you. What does humility do? It moves us forward. And it makes us go, you know what, God, you get all the credit. And I'm going to tell you what you discover. Pride goes before the fall. And so what happens if I determine that I want to humble myself and honor God in whatever it is he asks me to do, whatever task he has for me, then the reality is you and I discover how to honor him in a more powerful and amazing way. And it's interesting because when you think about life experiences, sometimes we are planting flowers. Sometimes we are reaching into someone's heart. Sometimes we're encouraging somebody going through a difficult time. Sometimes we're motivating them to become who God intends them to be. But here's what I want you to get in mind. When you serve, watch this, when you serve, humility rests on you in an amazing way if you choose to allow it to happen. And this week I was reading, our Good News Clubs have launched in the schools here in our area, and I was reading little prayer requests that the children write. And it's amazing the perspective of a child, because what it does, it tells you something. It takes back all the layers, and you get exactly what they're thinking. And it's always pray for this, pray for that. And you know what's interesting? They truly believe God can do it. For us sometimes, what happens to us? We walk around saying, well, it might happen, this might happen, I'm not sure. And I want you to think about today, if you learn how to serve with humility, what God will do through you. And I'll tell you what you'll discover. He'll begin to shape your life around, watch this, his purpose. So if you want to get his purpose, you got to serve with humility. But look on though, because in verse 20, he begins to talk more about, and he uses a key word that I want us to look at just for a moment. How I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you publicly and from house to house. I want you to get this in mind, because here's what happens to him. He uses the word shrink, all right, which has to do to withdraw from what it is ultimately God wants to do through you, to withdraw from his purpose. In other words, you look at it and say, you know, I'm not sure I want to do it because that pull, that's going to take some sacrifice, that's going to take some commitment, that's going to take some more prayer. Well, how am I going to do that out? How am I going to live that out? And then all of a sudden, Paul says, you know what? I never shrank back. I never let this get the best of me. And I want you to think about it for a moment, because what happens here, he says in the church as well as house to house, I was teaching with intensity. I was teaching with intensity. And what he was trying to say was, when you get your purpose, it ratchets up your intensity to become who you're supposed to be. It opens your eyes to his word. It opens your eyes to his purpose. It opens your eyes to accomplishing more. It makes you feel, you know what, this is something God has for me. This is something that God uses for me. And I'm going to tell you what you discover. When you ratchet up the intensity, all of a sudden, you get more strength to who you are. You get more wisdom to who you are. You get more equipping to who you are. And what he does here is interesting, because I want you to see something in just a moment. But what he does is very, very key for us, because he never, watch this, he never would move back from principles that guided his life. And I'm going to tell you, I want you to think about this for a moment. In this very room, there are people whose mother's principles change your life forever. Whose father's principles shape something inside of you. They did something to you because you didn't move away from them, because you saw that your mother lived for them. And it's interesting, when I was quoting about this author whose mother taught him how the Word of God was most essential, what she did more than anything else to teach him how to memorize God's Word. Because when you hide God's Word in your heart, you don't sin against Him. Now, I want you to think about this. Think about the governing principles of your life. Because what Paul knew was, he knew he had the gospel to get out. He knew he had the inspiration to bring into people's hearts and lives. But he knew that he had to have enough intensity. And we saw last week that what happens when he teaches a little bit longer, sometimes people fall asleep. So we realize that here's a guy who's, you know what, his intensity was so focused that he was inspired and energized. And I want you to imagine for a moment, all of a sudden, you begin to get a rush across you. Says, you know what, I can do it. I can make this happen. And what happens, that intensity begins to get stronger and stronger. And as you get more intense, you begin to experience more what he intends for your life. Because watch this, intensity positions you for his intent for your life. When you start saying, Lord, I want you no matter what. I want to discover what it is that you have for me. And what he did, he never shrank back from his principles. But the second thing you'll notice, he took care of every opportunity he had for him because he realized something. He had to take the time to prioritize who it impact, how it would impact, what he would do. He had to make priorities for his life. All right? So I want you to get this idea of this word shrink. Look, if you would, for a moment. First of all, you see it obviously in verse 20, how I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you. Look at verse 27, same chapter. For I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole purpose of God. Now, here's what I want you to get. Why does he double emphasize this concept? Because it's easy for us to shrink back. It's easy for us to give in. It's easy for us to say, you know what, not today. It's easy for us to say, you know what, I'll do it another day. And as a result, what happened? We start shrinking back. We start experiencing less than what he intended. And watch this carefully. If you shrink back an inch, you'll lose a mile. That's what Paul knew. How do we know that? Look back to Hebrews chapter 10. I want to show you the power of this particular concept in the book of Hebrews. Just turn to your right to the 10th chapter. And here's what I want you to get in mind. When you and I start giving an inch and losing a mile, how many miles do we have to go to lose our purpose? How many inches do we have to just slowly say, you know what, not today, maybe tomorrow, not this week, maybe next week, not this month, maybe next month, not this year, maybe next year. And I'm going to tell you, I meet thousands of people who lost sight of their purpose. They lost sight of what it is that God had for them. So look in Hebrews chapter 10, beginning in verse 35. Listen to what the writer records. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. For yet in a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay, but my righteous one shall live by faith. And watch this. If he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But I, look at verse 39, but we are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to the preserving of the soul. Now, I want you to ask yourself this question. Between the writer of Hebrews and what Paul encountered in Acts chapter 20, isn't it important to step forward instead of backward? Isn't it important to move forward an inch versus moving back an inch? And the reality is when you learn how to not shrink back, what happens in your heart and life is all of a sudden you get a greater intensity. You're able to go, you know, Lord, I trust you no matter what. How could Job say, though they slay me, yet will I trust him? Because Job understood he had a purpose greater than his pain. And I want you to think about today, what happens if you and I don't identify our direction based in what we've experienced by way of pain, but instead begin to yield more to his purpose? And I'm going to tell you what happened. You'll act right then. You'll become more connected to what he wants to do. You'll begin yielding yourself in a more effective way to accomplishing what he intends. Imagine for a moment today, just for today, if you just said for the rest of my life, I'm not shrinking back. I'm not going back an inch, because when you look at that word, it's very clear when you draw back away from his purpose. You draw back away from his intent. You draw back away from experiencing what God intended. And I'm going to tell you what you discover. When you learn how to yield yourself with an intensity that says, you know what? I know he has something for me better than I can figure out myself. And you get intense about that. Say, Lord, I just yield myself to you. What happens to you? All of a sudden, you start humbling yourself more. Say, Lord, thank you for showing me that. Then you start getting more intense. But then in verse 21, he comes to the third concept I want you to see. It has to do with hope. All right? Look, if you would. Verse 21. Solemnly he testified to both Jews and Greeks of repentance towards God and faith in the Lord Jesus. And now, behold, bound in spirit, I'm on my way to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me. So he says here, he testified, verse 21, he testified to both Jews and Greeks of repentance towards God and faith in Jesus, which tells you something. His core message was not complicated. Repent and believe. That was his core concept. No doubt he didn't get conflicted by all kinds of complex things. He said, you know what? I'm going to learn how to start sharing with hope those who need it the most. And I want you to imagine for a moment that you're here and all of a sudden you start saying, you know what? I want to get that same intensity. But what's interesting is he makes it clear. How do you get that intensity? You link yourself to something bigger than you are. And here's what he linked himself to. He linked himself to the humble desire to see someone know Jesus. Imagine what happens today if you and I walk out here saying, whoever we encounter, we want him to know the one who owns our heart. Do you think it doesn't ratchet up your intensity? Doesn't change who you are? I'll never forget years and years ago, I was in a hospital walking through, and this experience is so vivid to me because I can remember being so intent to accomplish this purpose. I was in my 20s, and I can remember walking to this hospital, and I was going to the lobby area. And as I was going to the lobby area, there was a family of 10 people gathered in a circle praying because one of their family members was dying. And I was young in a ministry. I didn't know all the right answers. But I did know this, that if you share hope, it changes everything. And so I just stopped and went over. I said, you know, I want to know if I can encourage you all a little bit. I'd like to say something to you that I hope will encourage you the most. And I said, I want to tell you that the pain you're bearing, Jesus has already borne on the cross, and if you'd like to encounter him, he can become the answer to your greatest pain. And I just want to know if any of you in this circle would like to give your heart to him so he can take your pain away. 9 out of 10 said yes. And my whole life I've thought about that 10th person. My whole life I've thought about, I wonder why that 10th person didn't say yes. And I'm going to tell you what you discover. When you start sharing hope, it changes everyone. I'm going to tell you, I stayed at a hospital, and that hospital lobby, hands joined together, and 9 said, Jesus, come into my heart, give me the hope that rests in you. And I want you to think about that for a moment. That's 38 years ago, 37 years ago. But what did that hope do? That hope gave them something to hang on to. And for Paul, he began testifying, and it's interesting because he has a very transforming testimony, all right? He's lived through enough. Watch this. He's lived through enough people. Listen to him. Because they knew what he was like before he got saved. They knew the transformation of his life. They knew there was something that happened. It was transforming. But he didn't just have a transforming testimony. He realized something. That repentance was the front door of every purpose we will ever have in life. Because when I repent, I realize his purpose takes precedence over mine. When I repent, something begins to work inside of me. So I want you to think about for a moment today. If you're sitting here in church and you're thinking through, okay, wait a minute now. So what I need to do is I need to process my life centered in the reality that if I can encounter him in humility, and if I can up my intensity, and if I can see what hope can do, what happens to me? I become more effective in discovering his purpose for my life. And listen carefully. Your purpose is linked to his will. Because when you discover the will of God, watch this, you will have the wisdom of God that will rest on you. And as the wisdom of God rests on you, you discover the ways of God. And when you discover the ways of God, watch this, you encounter the wonder of his divine purpose. That's exactly what happened to Paul on the Damascus Road. And so as you think about your own journey of faith, ask yourself the question, who am I sharing hope with? Because if you're not sharing hope with someone, you need to evaluate. Say, you know what? I'm going to take a step in that direction and make a difference. All right? So look on, though. Because he says here, to Greek, Jew, I told everybody, you repent, you believe, and you experience what God intended. Look on. I want to show you one final thing, and we're finished. when you look at the testimony that comes out of this, you see, watch it if you would. Verse 22, and now behold, bound in spirit, I'm on my way to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit solemnly testifies to me in every city, saying that bonds and affliction await me. But I do not consider my life of any account as dear to myself, so that I may finish the course, my course, and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify solemnly of the gospel of the grace of God. I want you to get this in mind, because here's what wraps together our purpose: learning how to testify with grace. Learning how to recognize what grace does. Grace does something inside of you can't do for yourself. It's when His unmerited favor becomes your story. It's when all of a sudden you encounter grace in such a way, you go, you know what? This has to be God, because this is so powerful. This is so meaningful. And I'm going to tell you what I've discovered, what grace does. Grace equips you to experience life the way He intended. When all of a sudden His grace begins to rest on you and you begin to encounter Him in a new and amazing and meaningful way, that grace becomes so powerful that people will look at you and go, man, what happened to that person? What is going on with them? And I always have a practice of opening the door for whoever I see when I encounter them at a store or something like that. And it's always interesting, because yesterday I stopped by a place and I pulled the door open, and the person stopped for a moment, and they were like, are there people like you still left that actually opened the door thinking it's a blessing to someone else? And I pulled the door, and I said, I hope you have a great day. The person's like, are there people who say things like that still? Because most people, what? They're stone-faced, aren't they? And I can remember years ago, my son was living in New York City, and first time we ever visited him, we were walking through New York City, and I said, hey, how you doing? Good to see you. And my son kept saying, Dad, you don't do that here. And I said, well, why not? Why would I not say, hello, how are you? He said, because here, nobody knows you. I said, it doesn't matter if they know me or not. They ought to know Jesus. They ought to know what God has for them. They ought to know what His purpose is. And so I would go by, and you know, they have, a lot of the places, they have these doormen standing there holding the door and stuff, and I'd go by and say, hey, how you doing today? He looked at me like, really? You really asked that? Why would you ask that? And I want you to get this in mind. A simple word can minister grace to people. It can minister grace. What happens if you learn how to say to someone, hey, how can I pray for you? Ask someone. Happened to me the other day. I was with a friend. We asked this person who's waiting. I said, hey, how can we pray for you? He said, well, my friend just attempted suicide last night. Would you pray for her? And this person's never seen us in her life, but here's what they're saying. Everybody needs somebody to testify to the grace of God. And I mean, you know what we did? We prayed for her right then, where she stood there. And it's interesting what happened. In that restaurant, she stood there with her hands like this, knowing that eternity could rest on her friend making a wise choice and unwise choice. What happens if you and I learn to testify to His grace? I'll tell you what happened. Our life changes forever. We began to encounter life the way He intended. And today, as you think about that, I want you to imagine that all of a sudden you start asking yourself, Lord, how can I commit? How can I commit to fulfilling His purpose? Because I'm going to tell you what, here's what Paul knew. He knew that nothing good in front of him except the grace of God. He knew that what he was committed to was fulfilling his purpose, no matter who was coming at him, no matter what circumstance was challenging him, no matter who said something to him. I want you to imagine what happens today if all of a sudden you commit yourself to fulfilling his purpose and you get so in tune to it that his grace begins to rest on you. I'll tell you what will happen. People will be shocked. People will be shocked. And when you do that, something begins to say to them, you know what, there must be a bigger purpose in mind. That person must have discovered that. That person must be living in that. And I want you to think about this. How many people in your life do you know who take humility and intensity and end up with hope and grace? Because that's exactly what Paul did. He wasn't just committed to fulfilling his purpose. He lived beyond something. Because what he knew was he had to endure a lot of stuff, but he lived beyond it to experience Jesus. You see, you and I, we don't live just to accomplish tasks. We live to experience who he is, how he works in life. Imagine for a moment that all of a sudden you start experiencing who he is. You start encountering him in an amazing and powerful way, and he becomes your story. and you're more effective in what you're supposed to accomplish, and you start living up to your purpose. And watch this carefully. Watch this. Do not surrender to where you've been, because if you surrender to where you've been, you will never experience where he wants you to go. Instead, surrender to something greater than that. Surrender to his purpose. Surrender to what he wants to accomplish through you. And when you do that, you'll begin to live in such an effective and meaningful way. As I was studying this passage, I began to reflect on those who I've known who live for their purpose. And it's interesting because it doesn't matter what you have, but it does matter who has you. Because the reality is, I've known people who have great affluence who knew exactly who they were. I've known people who had nothing and never will and knew exactly who they were. They were children of God designed to accomplish a purpose. And I want you to ask yourself today when you think about your own life, it's a simple question. Will you live your purpose? Will you live out what it is God wants to do through you? Because when you start living your purpose, I'm going to tell you what happens. You get energized, you get motivated, you get challenged, you get equipped. You're able to go, Lord, you know what? I can see what you have for me. I can see what you want to do in me and through me. I want you to speak to my heart so that I don't miss the moment you have for me that ties into my journey of faith. Today, I ask you simply this. Will you live your purpose? I'm going to tell you, you're going to discover. When you start living it, something begins to happen inside of you. How can someone be energized who's lived a lot of years? Because they're living for something bigger. They're living for something more important. They're living for something more profound. And today, what would happen if you did not shrink back from your purpose, but you said, I draw to my purpose? I'll tell you what happened. Your life would change forever. That's exactly why we have One Heart Church. It's exactly why we live for something bigger than ourselves. It's exactly why we have a purpose in mind, because we are authentic followers of Jesus, committed to changing the world, impacting the world, person by person, day by day. And when I think about all that God has in store for us in this coming day, he has an amazing opportunity before us. We just have to be saying to him, Lord, yes, I will. Yes, I can. Yes, I know you have something more for me than what I've already seen. I yield to your purpose, and I bless you for that. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the amazing way that your word speaks to our hearts. Your word speaks to our lives. Thank you for your faithfulness in our lives. Now think about it, in this room, so many men and women, young and old, in here looking for what it is you want to do, looking for how you want to work, looking for how you could instill in them something more defining related to their purpose. And they go, you know, Lord, I have you. I have what you have for me. I yield myself to you. So, Lord, today as we think about that, speak to hearts, speak to lives. There's someone here who needs to discover their purpose. Maybe their purpose rests in surrendering their heart to Jesus. Maybe they need to take that step. If there's someone here who is looking for a way to encounter you in a divine and powerful way, may they just stop and say, Lord, I see it. I accept it. I believe in it. Lord, I pray that we would trust and obey you in everything we're doing, everything we're about. Bless us as we respond to you. In Christ's name, amen.